From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. Juneau's Mendenhall Glacier is reaching its capacity for commercial tours. That happened sooner this year than in previous years due to the growing number of visitors, according to reporting from the Alaska Beacon. That means tour operators are also facing limits on how many permits they have to visit the Mendenhall Glacier Recreation Area, which is overseen by the Forest Service. A limit of around 517,000 visitors was set in 2015 after an environmental analysis of the area. It was increased slightly in 2019, but with the exception of the pandemic, the number of cruise ship visitors has grown. The cruise ship industry projected 1.6 million visitors to Alaska this year. The Forest Service said in a statement that it's asking for the public's patience and understanding. The agency is considering further expanding facilities at the glacier as a longer-term solution. That proposed project is under review by the public. In a statement, Juneau Deputy District Ranger Laura Buckheit described the public engagement with the proposal as being, quote, in the final stretch, end quote. And the U.S. Forest Service awarded grants this summer that could help revitalize the logging industry in the Tongass National Forest. Two businesses in Southeast have received hundreds of thousands of dollars to retool their mills. And as KFSK's Thomas Copeland reports, the grants could help tackle housing shortages in local communities.
If you head up Falls Creek in Petersburg, you'll hear Brett Martin before you see him. Martin runs Alaska Timber and Truss with his business partner, Mike Dumman. They bought this old mill up here last year, and Martin knows it inside out, or nearly inside out.
John Deere skidder in the back here. It's a 540B, I believe. There's a chainsaw grinder there. There's the cat.
What's the cat called?
Meow. I don't know. Yeah. What is the cat's name?
This mill is about to get a refurb. It's one of just two in Alaska awarded Forest Service grants to upgrade its saw. JK Forest Products in Thorne Bay got one grant. And here in Petersburg, Martin and Dumman were given $300,000 for a small log sawmill upgrade. But this money isn't just for splashing out on new machinery. The plan is pretty ambitious. To breathe new life into a lagging industry and slash the cost of timber for local communities. You see, what these upgrades have in common is that they're designed to process younger trees. Here in the Tongass National Forest, which covers most of Southeast Alaska, trees can be sorted into two categories, old growth and young growth. Sheila Spores is the Deputy Forest Supervisor. She says there's a big difference.
Old growth is forest that's never been managed before. You know, between the ages of 200 to 600, it's old forest. And then young growth forest is forest that has been harvested and is now a new young forest.
Political warfare has raged for years about how much old and young growth can be logged in the Tongass. The latest ruling came a few years ago.
So in 2021, the Forest Service capped the amount of old growth that could be harvested from the Tongass in any given year at 5 million board feet. Then that means there's 41 million board feet of young growth.
But Spore says the demand for young growth doesn't come close to that. Most of the small mills that are still operating in Southeast are all focused on old growth. Karen Peterson is from the Southeast Conference, a regional economic development organization. She says one of the reasons is simple, equipment.
Why small mills focus on old growth is primarily because their saws are set up to mill old growth.
Peterson says new tools will make these mills more competitive.
I'm pretty excited about seeing all of these small sawmills change their milling capacity because they're going to be able to enter into a market that right now is capitalized by only the sawmills out of the lower 48.
Now, you might be thinking, surely all forms of logging come at an environmental cost. Dominic Della Sella is the chief scientist at the conservation group Wild Heritage. He's studied the Tongass for four decades. So you might be a little surprised that Della Sella would support any type of logging.
Young growth doesn't have nearly as much biodiversity importance. It doesn't have nearly as much carbon built up in the trees because there's just not the big old growth trees there.
Some people might listen to this, Dominic, and say, surely it would be better, though, to not do any logging at all.
You know, we need timber, and we could be smarter about where we get it from, how we do it. So it's bioregionalism. It's just like growing your food in a region is going to reduce your emissions from transport.
And in downtown Petersburg, you don't have to go far to find support for locally sourced timber.
Hey, Bennett.
Bennett McGrath runs Anchor Properties, a local real estate agency.
There's great demand for timber in this town because there's a lot of vacant land that people want to build on, and they just can't because the cost of barging up timber is cost prohibitive for them.
And Bennett, who, full disclosure, sits on KFSK's board, says nearly all construction timber has to be shipped up from the lower 48.
Why bring sand to the beach when we have it here? It would be a cost savings, a significant cost savings, like possibly 20% below market value.
But back up at Falls Creek, Martin and Dumman say their biggest challenge is supply.
If we can get a combination of timber between the borough, the state, and the Forest Service, with that, I think we can actually get enough supply to keep us steadily moving forward. But if we can't get the wood, there's no point in having a mill.
Well, these guys need to get back to work. So from a very noisy Petersburg mill, I'm Thomas Copeland.
Backers of ranked choice voting have filed a complaint with the Alaska Public Offices Commission. It alleges that a group working to repeal Alaska's new voting system has repeatedly violated campaign finance laws, in part by funneling money through a religious organization. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports.
The APOC complaint involves two groups with similar names but opposing missions. Alaskans for Better Elections filed the complaint. It sponsored Ballot Measure 2 in 2020, which established a ranked choice voting system in Alaska. The complaint is filed against Alaskans for Honest Elections, which is campaigning to get rid of ranked choice voting. The complaint cites documents showing that ranked choice foes formed a separate religious company, Ranked Choice Education Association, as an integrated auxiliary of a church called Wellspring Fellowship of Alaska. Anchorage attorney Scott Kendall, author of the complaint, alleges the purpose was to mask campaign donations and potentially falsely obtain tax deductions for the contributions.
That's beyond my wildest imagination because I've formed campaign groups, I've formed ballot measure groups, I've formed super PACs. It has never occurred to me, nor would it ever occur to me, to form it as a church. It's one of the more bizarre things I've ever seen in my entire career.
Phil Izon is named to the complaint and a director of both the main anti-ranked choice campaign and the church-affiliated spinoff. Izon says he isn't privy to the specifics of the filing status and that most of the filing was done by CPAs and tax experts.
We did consult with people doing it, so we didn't just randomly do that.
So to your knowledge, it's not a religious organization?
As far as I'm aware.
The Articles of Incorporation for the RCEA list several goals as the mission of the ministry, including to promote Christian doctrine. But Kendall says RCEA's website is exclusively dedicated to disparaging ranked choice voting.
The Ranked Choice Education Association are out there essentially campaigning without registering. They have websites and materials that look identical to the registered group. So it's confusing, but it appears to be confusing by design of these people.
Public documents list Art Mathias as president of RCEA. Mathias is also a director of Alaskans for Honest Elections and the founder of Wellspring Ministries. While Mathias has publicly claimed he donated $100,000 to the effort to get rid of ranked choice voting, no such donation exists in his name in Alaskans for Honest Elections financial disclosures. Mathias did not immediately respond to requests for comment. Izon is at the center of another allegation in the complaint. He's listed as contributing $200,000 as an in-kind donation to Alaskans for Honest Elections in the form of professional services. The donation was dated 2 weeks after Alaskans for Honest Elections began taking donations. The complaint alleges, quote, "The fantastical assertion that Mr. Izon's time is worth $100,000 per week is absurd on its face," end quote. Kendall says the donation was listed to give a false impression.
It appears to have been used to inflate the appearance of the support for their ballot measure. Look at this. We've raised $290,000, never mind the fact that $200,000 is fictional.
Izon says the money is meant to represent the work he will do over the year, not for the two-week period.
Nothing to do with inflating or anything to do with that. That's honestly wasn't the intention. It was literally that was what APOC told us to do. We did it per their instruction.
The only money spent by Alaskans for Honest Elections per APOC filings has been $67,000 going to Leading Light Advisors for marketing purposes. The company is run by Diamond Metzner, Izon's wife. Izon says his wife runs the company herself.
I don't have access. I'm not on any of the bank accounts for that organization.
Kendall says he hopes APOC will do a thorough investigation.
I think if APOC can accomplish anything, it's to, you know, get into these people's records, whatever condition the records are in, and get them to report accurately.
Izon says his group has gathered roughly 20,000 signatures to repeal ranked choice voting. They need 27,000 to get the measure on the ballot. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 64 degrees and cloudy. The low tonight is 52 degrees, and tomorrow it looks like another 60-degree day. You're listening to KTOO.